Can we pray for each other for a moment? And let us pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In meditating on your habits, especially the ones that I'm about to bless, it occurred to me that probably none of you, if you weren't here in this religious order and weren't following this path in life, you'd probably never buy this at like TJ Maxx or Nordstrom's, or I don't even know what clothing stores are out there anymore. It's been so long. Because you actually have a clothing sense and you know how to make yourselves beautiful and wear beautiful clothes. God put me in a habit because he was afraid of what I would dress myself in. Having observed that for 21 years, he decided that it was better if he just picked my clothing from now on. But you actually know how to choose clothing and make yourselves beautiful, and you put on clothes to highlight your beauty. But something gets reversed in this setting, because you don't put on the habit to make yourself more beautiful. In a way, you put on the habit to make the habit more beautiful. The habit becomes so beautiful. It's why I actually felt like this was kind of a discovery for me, that you probably wouldn't choose to wear these if you weren't here, because your habit to me is so beautiful, because you are so beautiful. And this is the movement that our Lord Jesus himself has taken on. He puts things on to make them more beautiful. And as we heard in the gospel, the woman was very struck with the fact that the very first habit that Jesus wore was the womb of Mary. Now, the womb of Mary was already beautiful. I don't think anybody is disputing that. But think about that womb in that moment following the Annunciation. How much more infinitely beautiful it became because Jesus was there. And how, as he became even more visible through the veil of her womb became more and more beautiful, carrying that baby. But after his 9-month novitiate, he had a dispensation from Rome, so it was a little shorter. He was born into his second habit, as we're about to experience here with Sister Chiara Joan and Sister Mary Magdalena, that after their novitiate, they're born into a second habit. His second habit was the arms of Mary and her embrace, being held at her breast. And how beautiful he made that. And every woman's womb and every woman's embrace, made so beautiful because Jesus clothed himself with that embrace. And then he just kept carrying this theme on as he clothed himself with poverty. And the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. And as he clothed himself with suffering, and as he clothed himself even with crucifixion and death, and he made all those things beautiful so that we can have this beautiful image here. And we look at suffering and we see something beautiful in suffering, and we see something beautiful in death, because it also gives way to the beautiful robes of splendor with which he is clothed by the Heavenly Father for all eternity. Jesus has taken up this theme of wearing clothing, not to make himself beautiful, but to make the clothing beautiful. But you know, as I was reflecting a little bit more, I realized that focusing on putting on clothing, it's not really the Franciscan theme, is it? Franciscans are really about taking off clothing, right? That's the whole dynamic that was born in the room of stripping before the father of St. Francis and with the bishop was not about putting on clothing. St. Francis was much more focused on taking off clothing, on stripping, on removing attachments, on removing the things that actually interfered with his relationship with the Lord in order to open and to be clothed in new things. This stripping, of course, was also taken on by the Lord. He did a lot of that. But if you'll indulge me in reading the paragraph of St. Bonaventure's account of the stripping and the initial clothing of St. Francis. It's so beautiful. You've heard it 1,000 times, but I hope you won't mind hearing it again. St. Bonaventure says, "Thereupon, the father of the flesh worked on leading the child of grace, now stripped of his money, before the bishop of that city that he might renounce his family possessions into his hands and return everything he had. The true lover of poverty." I'll invite you to listen in a particular way to the motivation. What motivates this stripping anyway? "The true lover of poverty showed himself eager to comply and went before the bishop without delaying or hesitating. He did not wait for any words, nor did he speak any, but immediately took off his clothes and gave them back to his father. Then it was discovered that the man of God had a hair shirt next to his skin under his fine clothes. Moreover, drunk with remarkable fervor, he even took off his trousers and was completely stripped naked before everyone. He said to his father, 'Until now I have called you father here on earth, but now I can say without reservation, our Father who art in heaven, since I have placed all my treasure and all my hope in him.' The bishop, recognizing and admiring such intense fervor in the man of God, immediately stood up and in tears drew him into his arms, covering him with the mantle that he was wearing. Like the pious and good man that he was, he bade his servants give him something to cover his body. They brought him a poor, cheap cloak of a farmer who worked for the bishop, which he accepted gratefully and with his own hand marked a cross on it with a piece of chalk, thus designating it as the covering of a crucified and half-naked poor man. Thus the servant of the Most High King was left naked, that he might follow his naked crucified Lord, whom he loved." St. Francis stripped himself after the example of our Lord Jesus, because we have to be stripped before we can be clothed. Christ, who stripped himself of divinity to be clothed with the womb, and stripped himself of the solitude and hidden safety of the womb to be clothed with the embrace of Mary, stripped himself of the family life of Nazareth to be clothed with poverty, stripped himself of the physical comforts of human life and safety to be clothed with suffering, stripped himself of human life to be clothed with death, and then clothed with the splendor of eternal glory. So St. Francis truly followed the way of the crucified, stripping himself in order to be clothed, first of all, with the bishop's embrace, to be clothed with the church, and then to be clothed with the bishop's mantle, to be clothed again with the church, with her teaching, with her love, with obedience to her. Clothing himself with the church, he could then be clothed with the farmer's poor garment. And doesn't he make it beautiful? I was just in Assisi a month ago, you know, and his habit is everywhere. There's like 7 or 8 of them. It's because he kept making habits beautiful. He kept making poor garments beautiful. Everything he wore became a second-class relic. And he bestowed them on the poor. And so taking the poor garment, he wore it and made it beautiful, and he gave it back to the poor, and that made the poor man beautiful. And that's the dynamic of love that St. Francis embraced, and what you embraced, and what you sisters will embrace as you take on this garment and make it beautiful, because, and that's the last point, why because? Why do we do all of this? Why are we stripping and clothing, and what's happening? Underneath all of it is love. Love is the reason. What drove the madness of St. Francis was that he was madly in love. St. Bonaventure says he was a lover of poverty, and that is to really say he was the lover of the poor one. He was drunk with fervor, which is St. Bonaventure's fourth step of love for God, spiritual inebriation. His love for God made him drunken with fervor. As St. Francis proclaimed, I can say, Our Father who art in heaven, since I have placed all my treasure and all my hope in him, we hear the love that drives his renunciation. Out of love for the poor one, out of love for the crucified, out of love for the Heavenly Father, he places all his treasure, for where his treasure is, there his heart also will be. And so St. Bonaventure says, Thus the servant of the Most High King was left naked, so that he could follow his naked crucified Lord, whom he loved. To make the habit beautiful, we have to learn to strip ourselves of the pride, so that we might be clothed with humility, of autonomy so that we might be clothed with obedience, of security and self-sufficiency so that we might be clothed with poverty, of earthly romance and companionship, to be clothed with the heavenly romance of chastity and the undying company of the crucified. By letting ourselves be romanced again by the little poor man and the little poor Christ, whom he loved so much, we can open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, who is the love of God, poured into our hearts. So as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we're so grateful to Sister Mary Michaelina and Sister Chiara Joan, who are so excited. It's so sweet to see their excitement and their joy to enter into this wonderful mystery for the first time that many of us, most of us, entered into some time ago. And we pray that it might have the kind of effect on us that it had on the bishop. He was moved to tears by the fervor of the little poor man who wanted to give everything for the little poor Christ, who stripped himself, and the bishop embraced him, and the bishop was moved to a deeper repentance to follow the example of one who had fallen in love again. And so we pray that Sister Chiara John and Sister Mary Michaelina will simply give way to their fervor and their joy and their excitement, that we also might be moved to tears of repentance. We clothe them, but may we be moved to tears with shame for our own failures to love Jesus with a more pure love and a more pure heart, but also be filled with the hope of courage that Jesus makes all things new.